We're in John, the sixth chapter. If you have your Bible, follow along, and if you'd like to follow along for it, it's also up on the screen. John, the sixth chapter, we're going to start reading at the fifth verse. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down, and in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above, unto them that had eaten. Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, Lord, just ask that we will consider the lessons and the spiritual application, Lord, of your word. Lord, that we may know and do the things you have us to do. And Lord, if there be any here that do not know you, Lord, as their Savior, Lord, that they accept Jesus Christ, Lord, it's everlasting too late. Father, just continue to watch and care over us as a church. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We find here in our text the story of the five loaves, five little biscuits, pieces of bread, and two small fish. It's kind of interesting. This is a story we know. It's a simple story. And yet, it has great significance. When we go to Mark, the sixth chapter, verse 52, there's an incident, and we're going to talk about it later, but it says that the spiritual dilemma came upon them, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. It's kind of interesting that in the book of Mark, the writer takes them back to this dilemma wouldn't have befallen them if they would have learned a spiritual lesson. So, this morning we're going to talk about, the title of the message is, Consider the Miracle of the Loaves. It's interesting that the story, the miracle of the five loaves and the two fish, it is the only miracle that is recorded in all five Gospels. I want you to think about that. I want to make sure you grasp that. Jesus did how many miracles? Anybody know? What?
Seven.
In John. Oh. Good. No, good. There are seven. Obviously, you're listening. Good. There are seven miracles recorded in John, okay? And we're pointing those out. And this is number four. But how many of all of the miracles? See, John limited, and he said, I'm just going to write a few, but these I write so that you may believe. But in the other Gospels, there's a lot more recorded. About 40. Depending on what list you look at, it could be 37 or 42. Depending on, you know, which ones you think are duplicated and what you count as a miracle and those kinds of things. But around 40. So what's interesting, so of 40 miracles, which miracle would you pick as the most profound miracle to say this is the one we want to repeat in all four, and that you're going to refer back to on multiple occasions and say there is such an important spiritual lesson there that you're going to refer back to it at least four different times. Yeah, this isn't the one, is it? This is so simple. Here's the thing. When it's a complicated message, we miss it. So God said, here's a simple lesson. And I'm going to show you something so simple, and then I'm going to help you apply it to your spiritual life. And so of all the miracles, and they're all important, I'm not minimizing any of them, there is one that is so important that the Holy Spirit conveyed to each gospel writer that this will be recorded. So those of future generations of children of God and of the Lord's churches will have this lesson. And so we're going to talk about this miracle, and I want to go through it kind of quickly because it's simple. Okay, we don't need to dwell a lot on it. There are some lessons I want us to learn, but then we want to look at four different places where Jesus applied this lesson to people's lives and how we need to heed the application of this lesson in our lives in those four different ways that it was applied. So here are the four different places that this miracle is recorded. And there's a few different elements that they talk about. We're just going to follow the one in John. So it starts with Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. That was the Roman name for it. And as he crossed over, there was a lot of people that followed him, great multitudes, and they were in a place that there wasn't any towns, and so they were out by themselves in this area because the reason they followed him was because of the miracles that he had done on them that were diseased. Not for the fact that they believed he was the Son of God. Not the fact that they had gotten something from it. But they were following him because of the show. If we follow, we might see a miracle. And so there was these large multitudes. And so Jesus went up into a mountain, or up on a mountain. And the Sea of Galilee is kind of down in a valley. And there are gradual slopes. And so he went up on this hill with a slope so that he could be seen kind of a natural amphitheater. And there with his disciples. And the other thing is the Feast of the Passover is close. The Feast of the Jews is at hand. And so it is the season of the feast. The Passover is about the same time of every year. We as Christians, we celebrate a holiday. There's something that we do that's important that's around the Passover. What happened around the Passover? Easter. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? So it's springtime, if you will. So when Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw this great multitude, and we see that later the description is about 5,000, and it says 5,000 men. Sometimes in this period of time, they would count people by men, and so that would mean there would be also women and children. Sometimes men is a generic phrase, as in mankind, as in, you know, everyone there. Instead of saying people, you know, I could say, okay, there's 40 men here, not saying that you're all men, but mankind. So there's 40 of you here. Or if I was to, another way I could count, because we have around 40, we've got 10, 15 men, so I could say, you know, 15 men, and So then you would have to account for all of the women and children. We're not sure on this text. So 5,000 men, if that's just the men, then it goes from 5,000 to however many women and children were there. But whether it's 5,000 or whether it's 20,000, what Jesus is going to do is pretty remarkable. So we're just going to talk about 5,000. Whoever was there got fed. It doesn't mean that the women and children didn't get to eat. That's not what is being said here. Everyone that was there, their physical need was provided for. And so Jesus sees this crowd. And the other Gospels indicate that they're so far away from cities that the disciples come to him and they say, "Lord, you know, it's getting late. You got to get these people out of here, or we're going to be responsible for them. We need to give them enough time to go somewhere to eat and take care of themselves." And John just says Jesus decides to teach a lesson. And this he says to prove them, to test them, to teach them. You know, the Lord does things in our lives to prove us, to test us, to teach us. It's interesting. I love verse 6. "For Jesus himself knew what he would do." God already had a plan. Here's the thing. God has a plan in your life. He already knows what he's going to do in your life. But if he just did it, you would become so reliant on him, you would never do anything. You would just sit down and say, "Okay, Lord, feed me." We want to be reliant, knowing he can take care of us, but God also wants us to be actively busy working and doing things for him. And so Jesus did a little test. And he says unto Philip, he says, "What shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And what's interesting, he doesn't test the 12 disciples. He decides that Philip needs a test. And why Philip? I don't know. But he turns to Philip. And, you know, if I was Philip, I'd be kind of like, "Lord, you know, Peter needs a test today." Lord, how about a multiple choice? And so Philip takes the challenge. Jesus already knows what he's going to do. And Philip answers and he says, "Lord, 200 penny worth." And this conversion of money, a penny is often a day's wage. So 200 days wages, you know, to try to put it in their time to our time. Let's say we had 5,000 people show up and we were going to feed them and set them down to just say a lunch. What does it cost to go to lunch? $10? By the time you buy a drink and food? So if you have 5,000 and it costs $10, put a zero on it, how much is that? $50,000. Let's say we get a really good deal and we do it for half. $25,000. If we were 5,000 people showed up and was responsible for them, would you be a little panicked? Yeah, think about it. Well, we'll just take up a love offering. I don't know about you. I don't got that much pocket change. And Philip says, "Boy, you know, 200 days wages isn't sufficient for all of them." Philip basically says, "Lord, I don't know. I can't come up with a number." And the other problem when we look at the other Gospels is, even if we had enough money, there's not a community close enough that we could go buy enough bread and food to provide for them. If we had 50,000 people, you think the local Safeway would have enough food? I think they'd run out of bologna. What do you think? Yeah. And so they have this dilemma, and Philip says, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to try." And here's the thing that I want you to note what Philip does. We try to solve things in terms of the resources that we have available. Throw money at the problem. And Philip's conclusion is, even if we had the money, it'd take more than 200 penny worth. And the other Gospels indicate, even if we had the money, there's not a place to go use the money. Lord, it is a problem that is not fixable. That's his answer. Even if we had the money, we can't fix it. Lord, this is bigger than I can deal with. I don't know how to answer your question. And so Andrew, Simon's brother, says, he speaks up. And why do you think Andrew speaks up? We're not told, but you read the story, there's a lad here. So in all these people, somebody came prepared. A little boy came prepared. Maybe it was his mother. Maybe his mother sent him with lunch. But somehow, this little boy is prepared. How did Simon know? Was this little boy off by himself, eating and watching the spectacle, thinking they're hungry, but, you know, great big smile on his face? Or did he go with a generous heart to Andrew and say, here's my lunch? I don't know how it got there, but somehow this young man gets brought into the picture, and Andrew says, Lord, there is a young man here. There is a little bit of food. There is 5 barley loaves, and these loaves are more like a muffin, a biscuit. So it's not as a Wonder Bread loaf. But even if it was a Wonder Bread loaf, what is that among these? And 2 small fish. And the kind of fish that they have there in the Sea of Galilee, the most typical fish, would be like a small bass or a perch. Have you ever eaten perch? It takes a lot of them for one person. Or a small bass, you know, it takes 2 just for a person. So this is a lunch for one, not a lunch for 5 or 50 or much less, 5,000. And he even says, so we don't have enough money, we don't have the resources, even if we did have enough money to go to a town where there was enough resources. And then what we do have is so minuscule. And so their attitude is, there's so little, but the need is so great. And sometimes it's good for us to understand, because it makes us rely on the Lord. Makes us put our faith, our trust in the Lord. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, which of you can add a cubit to a stature? And the point that he's making is that if God takes care of the sparrows, if God takes care of the flowers in the field, don't you think you being part of his creation, he can take care of you? Problem is, it's a faith issue. See, we look at resources and we see we need money, we need the place to buy, and the little we have is so little with so much, and oftentimes we miss the greatest resource of all, our Heavenly Father. Right? And Jesus said unto them, unto the men, he says, sit down. Unto the multitudes, and this was a sloped place with grass, and so they could all sit down, and so they sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took this lunch, the 5 barley loaves, and he gave thanks. I'm always impressed with how Jesus conducts himself. I mean, he is the Son of God. He can just take it and do it. Because I'm here to do my Father's business. This is about the relationship I have with my Father. And our life should be lived as it is about our relationship with God. How often do we just take lunch or dinner and just go about it? And forget just such a little thing, but to give thanks. It's kind of interesting in Romans, the 1st chapter, there is a progression there in the middle of that chapter, how that man get so sinful that they would forget God? And in that sinfulness, it talks about changing God's plan and changing the natural use of man and the natural use of woman and all the kinds of sin. But if you know how they get there, it's because it says this all started because they stopped being thankful. You know, when we feel like everything is owed to us, that's not good for us. And it's not good for our relationship with God. So he took and he blessed it. He gave thanks. He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, and likewise of the fish. And here, don't miss this phrase, as much as they would. They got to have seconds. They just didn't get here a little crumb. It wasn't like, they had a single candy bar and they had to cut it up 20 different ways and everybody got a little piece. Everybody got as much as they wanted. Until they were full, until they were content. And when they were filled, when they ate all that they wanted, Jesus said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. Let's not waste anything. That nothing be lost. But let's not squander the blessings of God. Therefore they gathered them together. 12 baskets were filled with the fragments of the fish and that which remained above and beyond that they had eaten. So they started with a little lunch and ended with 12 full baskets. Now, most of these people were Israelites, were Jews. And just how many tribes are there in... How many tribes? 12. I wonder if the lesson here is that God can sustain his people. Just 12 baskets. I don't know. Numbers I know mean something. I don't want to overthink it. But there was a lot left over. They had all that they needed, and they have some left for later. So that's the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you can imagine those that saw that were impressed. And how that God took something so little and made so much. And this simple little miracle is recorded in all 4 Gospels. And it's kind of interesting that Jesus refers to it at least 4 different times in making spiritual application. And that's what I want to finish up this morning in looking at the 4 applications of this miracle, the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I don't have the verses up this morning because I want you to see the list. So I'm going to encourage you to grab your Bible and I'm going to give you some verses. So first of all, the first thing that Jesus teaches is we must not miss lessons of faith. Go with me to John, the 6th chapter, verse 24. When the people therefore saw Jesus, that Jesus wasn't there, he had been on the other side, they took the ships and they came to Capernaum. So this is after, remember the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish is recorded in the first part of John 6. Now we're down at verse 26. And when they saw that Jesus had left, they go find him. They seek him out. And they end up at Capernaum. And it says they're seeking for Jesus, looking for Jesus. And you think, wow, that's good. They're looking for the Son of God. But then in verse 26, it says, when they had found him on the other side, they said, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? How did you get here? Why did you leave us? And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me. That's good, but he says, but not because you saw the miracles, not because you saw the spiritual application, not because of what the miracle of the five loaves and the two fish was in a lesson for faith. You don't seek me for those reasons. He goes on and he says, you seek me because ye did eat of the loaves and you were filled. You seek me just because you want a blessing, just because you want something from God. A lot of us are like that. And Jesus says, this miracle of the loaves, this lesson of the loaves, I didn't do this just so I could feed you. I don't do things just so you can have material things. God blesses us often, but it's not so we can have stuff. It's not so we can get things. It's not so we can look at God and say, okay, Lord, yeah, we should rely on God, but sometimes we look at it as just a place to go get stuff. That it's not about a relationship, it's just a place to go get something. It's like, Mom and Dad, give me 20. Mom and Dad, give me a car. Mom and Dad, I need this. Mom and Dad, I got in trouble. Get me out of this. Mom and Dad, it's just, and it's God, what have you done for me lately? And Jesus says, you haven't sought me because of this incredible thing that I've done, this lesson that I've given you. You seek me only what you can get out of it. And I think there's an important lesson here. The very first thing is Jesus says, don't miss the lessons of faith. Don't just take God for granted. There's something important here in this lesson that Jesus took so little and fed so many. And how does that apply to my life? How does that help and affect my relationship with God? And so often God does so many things in our life and we're oblivious to it because we miss the lessons of faith. We just see what we get out of it instead of the application of it. Does that make sense? The second thing is if we miss the lessons, maybe we should apply the lessons. We must apply lessons of faith. And this lesson is very specific. What this meaning is, what these five loaves and these two fish mean is very specific. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I want you to understand what the spiritual application of this lesson is. Why did I take five loaves of barley and two fish and sustain physical life? What is the application here? They were hungry. They had no place to turn to. They were so far out in the desert, so far away from society and stores and resources that the disciples were afraid that people were going to start fainting and starving. And Jesus says, I can take care of that need. And the application is that if Jesus can take care of our physical needs, He can take care of our spiritual needs. If we don't get our needs met physically, we will die. We need our needs met spiritually because we are dead. We are spiritually separated from God. And so Jesus made the application of this. And when he gave them bread in John 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. If you want to live, you need what I have to offer. Not physically, which he could do that. But he goes on and he explains what this is. And he says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then we've just gone through John, the third chapter, where he talks to Nicodemus about being born again, and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, Jesus talks to her about living water. And he uses all of these physical illustrations to show that we have a spiritual need that only Jesus can meet. We must apply this lesson of faith. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Verse 48 says, I am that bread of life. Jesus says, if what I've said so far about the bread of life, you don't understand what I'm saying, he says, let me make it clear. I am. In John 14, he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I mean, he makes it so plain. He tells them that if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. You need what I have to offer. And he goes on in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And he said that to the woman at the well for the illustration of water. She said, okay, Lord, I want it. But she still misunderstood, thinking she would live forever. It's not about physical life forever. We're all going to die. You know, we're not going to live forever. I won't. You won't. Not in this physical body. But our spiritual life. Our spiritual being. Will have existence. And we figure out now in this life where we're going to spend eternity. It'd be kind of like me giving you a choice going on vacation. And I know this isn't a perfect illustration, but bear with me. If I would give you a paid round trip vacation, and you can go there and live the rest of your life, you can go to Disneyland or Death Valley. What might you choose? Anybody like the heat? Now, eternity is a little more serious than that. And heaven is nothing like Disneyland. I know it's a bad application, bad illustration. Heaven, I'm not saying heaven is Disneyland. But you can see the contrast. That's the point. Nobody's going to choose the bad, and yet God says that you are making preparation for your eternity. You can spend it in hell, or you can spend it in the presence of God. Luke, the 16th chapter, talks about two men who prepared for this. One, the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell. And while he was in hell, he had a conversation with Abraham. And the one thing that he decided is he didn't want anyone else to come to where he was. He said, let Lazarus go back and tell them, tell my brother, so they won't come here. I would rather never see them again, and rather than be in the presence of God than in my presence, because this is a terrible place. This spiritual application must be applied to our life. Do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? You must apply it. And first of all, they missed the lesson of faith, and Jesus says, okay, if you missed it, now I'm going to point it out to you. This is what it is. Do you have a relationship with God? The third application. Go to Mark, the 6th chapter. And in verse 44, as you turn there quickly, I want you to see that verse. And I'm going to talk through verse 52. And I don't have enough time to read all those verses. But in Mark 6, verse 44. So here's the thing. We must apply previous lessons of faith to our current situations. So there are things that God does in my life today that are going to help me in my spiritual life tomorrow. Why do you think he tested Philip? Was it was just so that he would get it right then? No, Jesus, he didn't expect Philip to solve the problem because Jesus already knew he was going to solve the problem. But there was going to come a time that this lesson in the future of Philip's life, he could look back and he could say, okay, this is where this applies. This is how I can handle this situation. And what is that? The application? What I can't do for myself, God can. That's part of the lesson of the bread. They didn't have enough money. They didn't have the resources. They couldn't feed those people. What you can't do for yourself, God can. You can't save yourself, God can. But, so there's going to come a point in their life that they're going to need to apply this lesson. What I can't do for myself, I got to understand and put up my faith and trust in God that what I can't do, He can. An important lesson, huh? So, we must apply previous lessons. So, in Mark 6, verse 44, they had eaten the loaves. There's about 5,000. So straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples. He pushed his disciples into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. So he told the disciples, he said, get on the boat, go quick, row, row. And he stayed and he told everybody, go home. The disciples were left. It's just, go home. The show's over. Go home. And when he had sent them away, he went up onto a mountain to pray. So the disciples are rolling on the Sea of Galilee. And I wish I could take you all to the Sea of Galilee so you could see it. Because once I was there, I could just see this happening. Jesus said, not, it says mountain, but it's on a raised hill. And you can stand on one side of the seashore, Sea of Galilee, and you can see across 6 miles. Or you can be on the end of it and look all the way across 12 miles. And you can see boats in the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus is on a mountain. The disciples are in the boat. They're going to the other side as Jesus instructed them. Verse 47. And when the evening was come, when it was night, the ship was in the middle, in the midst of the sea, and he alone on land. So, I want you to get the picture. In the middle of the Sea of Galilee, the 12 disciples, Jesus up on a mountain praying. And verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. Now he sent them out for the day. It's only a couple hour trip by boat to row across. They've been all day rowing and just in the middle. And Jesus looks out and he sees them toiling, working so hard. For every two strokes they go forward, they go back three. They're not making progress. That they are not getting to where Jesus told them to go. Remember, Jesus put them in the boat and said, go to the other side. And you think they're saying, well, we could turn around. But God wants us over there. If we turn around, we're being disobedient to Jesus. So they continue to toil. They continue to labor. And in their own strength, they can't do it. What was the lesson of Rose? What we can't do for ourselves, God can. They couldn't provide enough money. They couldn't provide enough food. But Jesus took care of it. And so they're out there rowing, rowing, rowing. And Jesus is just sitting on the shore watching. Just watching. Verse 48, so they're watching, for the wind is contrary. And about the fourth watch, in the middle of the night, he comes unto them, walking on the water, and would have passed them. I've shared this before, just would have passed them. You know, Jesus, they're rowing along. The wind is beaten on them. And Jesus is walking around. They see this guy walking. I mean, he's just going to pass on by. He would have passed on by. And it's like, hey, Lord, this is getting a little tough here. And he's walking on by. And when they saw him walking on the water, that it's a spirit, can't be real, can't be God, because God can't do that. Well, God just fed 5,000. Why do we limit God? And so they cried out, hey, don't walk past us. And then when they saw him, they turned, they were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said, be of good cheer, as I, be not afraid. And then when he went up unto them into the ship, when he got into the wind ceased. They were sore amazed with themselves and wondered. And if you read the other gospel accounts of this, it says he got in the ship, the wind ceased, and they were immediately on the other side of the shore. Look at the last verse here, this section. Look at verse 51. When he went in the ship, the wind ceased. They were amazed beyond measure and wonder. Look at verse 52. So they're like, how could this happen? How could the wind stop? How could we be on the other side? Verse 52, for they considered not the miracle of loaves, for their heart was hardened. So Jesus says, look, if I can do things you can't, if I can feed you when you can't, don't you think I can get you to the other side when you can't? One of the things we have to understand is that what we can't do in our lives, God can. I can't cleanse my sins. God can. There are things in my life that's going to happen. One of the reasons we do prayer requests. We often pray for people who are sick. The Bible says that. Pray for them. Look them up to God. What I can't, what the doctors can't, God can. We've seen that, haven't we? So this spiritual application, this lesson of faith, the application is, don't just see it and know that you need Jesus as the bread of life, as your Savior. There's other places we can use this. What I can't do for myself, God can. Does that make sense? Important application. The last one. We should not misapply lessons of faith in Scripture. This one is almost comical. Go to Matthew 16, verse 5. So this has been kind of harped on them, and I've taken these in order that they happen. So some 6 months to a year later, and Jesus has told them on multiple occasions, you know, this lesson of faith, loaves of bread, this is an important thing here. You know, apply lessons. You need to be saved. This lesson can be applied to other places in your life. So, of course, now they apply it everywhere. Look at this. Verse 5. When the disciples were come to the other side, and of course this lesson centers around the Sea of Galilee, they had forgotten to take bread. Mark, 8th chapter, says that left in the boat from another trip is a single loaf of bread. But they forgot to get more provisions. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Be careful of the leaven. Now, we know from other New Testament scriptures, leaven is yeast, right? And yeast pictures sin. In the Old Testament, they did that too. When the Passover came along, they had to go through their house and clean it and make sure there was no leaven. Leaven, when you put leaven in bread, it takes just a little bit and it permeates everything. It contaminates everything. So we want to get leaven. We want to get sin out of our life. So Jesus says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. This has to go back to the loaves. This is something to do with those five. It's because he's telling us it's our fault. Verse 8, and when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have not brought bread. I'm just trying to teach you a simple lesson. Sometimes we take things all out of context. Yes, we should apply, and yes, we should rightly divide the word of God, but let's not misapply. You see the point? And look at what happened. He goes on. He said, you do not understand, neither were... I'm sorry, verse 8. When Jesus perceived, they said, oh, you have little faith. Why reason among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Verse 9. Do you not understand, neither remember the five loaves, 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? Neither the seven loaves or the four, and how many baskets you took up? I can take care of you. How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven in the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bid them not beware of leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So they took this, and they said, oh, it has to be about us. Oh, it has to be about something we did wrong. Oh, it has to do with when they made some misapplications. And I think we do that in our life. We often miss lessons of faith, and then we don't apply them. And then those that we get, we can use later in our life, but we have to be careful we don't misapply them. This little simple lesson, as the pianist and song leader comes forward, one of the simplest of miracles Jesus did for them what they could not do for themselves. It is a powerful lesson. And then Jesus said, let's apply it to our life. And this morning I want to challenge you, have you applied it to your life? Do you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior? You can't save yourself. You can't forgive yourself of your sins. We're all sinners. But Jesus can. And he will. As he said, believe in me. Just ask him and he will save us. And if you're here this morning, a child of God, how are you doing on applying these lessons of faith? The great things that God has done in your life. Then do you reach another thing in your life in which you can't do, and you're like, oh, I'm afraid, I'm terrified, I can't do it. And then when Jesus does it, it's like, oh, how did you do that? And every difficulty in your life is met with great fear because you don't apply when God in the past has blessed you. And if God will take care of us in the past, don't you think he'll take care of us in the future? That's who he is. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you had earthly fathers that are sinful but can give good gifts. How much better can your heavenly father? If earthly fathers or parents are going to take care of the kids, don't you think your heavenly father is going to provide? How are you doing in applying this simple lesson of faith? What you can't do for yourself, God can take care of. There's nothing too big in your life that God can't resolve, can't help you through, can't give you grace to live through. Let's all stand. We have a meeting.